السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس ضرب مثلا فاستمعوا له، صدق الله العلي العظيم.
There is a method in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adopts in Quran quite often. And it is a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains many things in Quran. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses parables, similes. He likes to compare things to things so that you and I can understand. And to be honest, it is also a very effective way in trying to explain something. So, earlier today, somebody was asking me a question. The brother isn't here today. But if he was here, it'd be better if I said it. But the main point is, in order to answer him, it was easier and more effective for me, instead of to bring out dala'il and hadith and give him an explanation, it's easier just to apply his thing, as we did yesterday. We did qiyas, apply what he said, and then I took that same analogy on another matter of sharia, and that was an easier and effective way of explaining to him. So what I was trying to say is, without going into dala'il, another way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains things is by giving parables and examples. So we find in Quran over and over in the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this one specific verse I'm quoting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to talk about the weaknesses of the idols that they worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm going to give you an example, so pay attention. فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. And the example goes on to say that the example of what they call upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're such things, they are such, the idols are such, لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. It is so weak, so frail, that if all the idols were to get together, and they, all the humans they were to get together that worship these idols, and they were to just decide they want to create a fly, they couldn't do it. Isn't it crazy? They're worshipping something that is a stone, it's a rock, it can't do anything. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to explain it to them, is saying, listen, in order for you to understand the futility and the stupidity in you worshipping idols, is that look, if you were to get together and you were to try to create a simple thing like a fly, you couldn't do it. But if that fly, the one that Allah created, now what they used to do, is that they used to have idols, and you see it in India today, 2 days, right? They go to their temples, and what do? They take sweets, and they put it by their idols. As if the idols are going to all of a sudden wake up and start eating the mitai. No, when everybody's gone, the people who are taking care of the temple, they say, oh, mitai miki. They got the mitai. They ate the mitai. Who came next day? Mitai is gone. The idols ate it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, you want to understand how stupid it is that you are worshipping these idols? Yes, Allah is very blunt, okay? This is in Quran, Allah is very blunt. You want to know how? That if this fly were to come and take the food of that you put for your idols, the idols could do nothing to stop it. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to show them the weakness of their idols? That you couldn't create, you couldn't create something so insignificant as a fly. And not only is a fly such that it can take the food that you present for your idols and your idols can't do anything. So throughout Quran, subhanAllah, there are many, many, many examples in Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to explain a ruling, in order to explain something, Allah says, we give you examples of haq and batil, an example that Allah gives of haq and batil. For example, He says, haq and batil is just like, batil is like this, and this is what we see. It happens quite often. Batil is like this. It's like that. It's like a valley, and the water rushes. A flood comes in, and as the flood comes, it has the foam that's on top, And as the foam and the water is rushing through, what happens? The foam is on the top of the water, right? You see it. You've ever seen a flood? If you ever see, maybe you go back and watch the videos that happened in Pakistan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them, not too long ago, you see all the water coming, but on top of that there's foam, and it takes all the garbage with it. But over time, what happens when the water settles down? All the foam dissipates and it starts to disappear and spreads out, and it turns into, the foam is no longer there. And Allah says, this is like haq and batil. Batil comes at like a rush, and it seems to overtake, but give it a little bit of time, what you see today is batil. Since October 7th, what we've seen is batil. Let it go over time. Just the other day, I was seeing so many people accepting Islam. So many people are accepting Islam. You know why? Because they saw the iman of those people in Palestine. Whereas if Allah made nothing happen, then maybe those people would have never accepted Islam. So this is batil. It comes, and it comes with a lot of force. And it's takes over, but then over time it splits, it goes away, just like the foam in the flood just starts to disappear. That's the example. And there are many, many examples. Another example that we have, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, an example of a believer that recites Quran, a good believer that recites Quran, is like the example of a citron. Again, he's trying to show you. So what is his main goal? He's trying to encourage everybody to do what? Be good, pray, read Quran, right? That's his goal. But instead of just saying, be good people and read Quran, what does the Prophet ﷺ do? He gives you an example. He says, the example of an individual who is a good Muslim and reads Quran is like that of a citron. So something that looks kind of like a lemon, but the gist is, he says, it tastes good and it smells good. So I'm not saying it's literally a lemon. Lemon is kind of sour. I don't know how many of us are going to want to eat it. Maybe take like an orange, for example. It tastes good. It smells good. It has a good fragrance to it. Okay. Then you have an example of a person who's a good Muslim, but he doesn't read Quran. This is the example of a date. It tastes good, but it has no fragrance. And the example of a sinner who reads Quran is like the example of basil. It may smell good, but it's bitter. It's bitter. And then the example of a sinner who does not read Quran is like that of a bitter apple. It has no fragrance and it tastes bitter. And the whole point is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to say here. Just like you and I, when we are selective of what fruits we want to eat, do we pick the fruits that are bitter? We like to pick the fruits that taste good. And you know, if it smells good, even great. Like a mango. We like it. It smells good and it tastes good. So be like that type of believer. And then he goes on to give you another example. And he says the example of a good person, a good believing person, is like that of a perfumer. Meaning, he says, even if the perfumer doesn't give you perfume, doesn't give you one, but the mere being in his presence will do what? It will rub off on you and your clothes too. His smell, well, a little bit of it will definitely rub off on your clothes too. And the example of a person who's a bad Muslim, who is not a good person, is like the person who works with, a blacksmith who works with trying to light the fire. Okay, you know, they have this bellows, right? They go, it's like thing, and it blows air basically, but at a force to kind of inflame the fires to make it even hotter. So what happens to a person who is a blacksmith? For many of you who don't know, the idea is a blacksmith, what happens? When he starts working with metal and iron, what happens? All the sparks fly off and he gets dirty. So even if you aren't the one actually touching it and doing the work, what happens if you keep bad company? What happens if you keep bad company? It will still rub off on you somewhat. So instead of simply saying, Kun ma'a sadiqeen, stay with the sadiqeen, what is the Prophet ﷺ trying to give you an example of? He's saying, stay by the righteous people, the scholars. Because you know what? Even if you don't become like them and you don't become a scholar, at least they'll rub off on you. He says, avoid bad people. Avoid people that are sinful. Even if you tell yourself, you know, well, I'm not like them. I don't do what they do. I don't do this and I don't do that. But what's going to happen? Some of it is still going to rub off on you. And the last example we'll say, and we'll leave it at this example, I think it's a very important example. Because this is what makes a Muslim community a good community. So pay attention to this last example. And this example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the example of a group of people, a group that holds themselves at the limits of Allah, meaning they follow the rules of Allah. They are within the hudud of Allah. They follow the rules of Allah. And a group that transgresses the rules of Allah. Okay, so we have two groups, the ones that follow, that obey the rules of Allah, the ones that transgress the rules of Allah, and the ones who find themselves being short in fulfilling the rules of Allah. Three groups. He says, an example of this is like a group of people that are on a ship. The first two group, they're on the upper deck. The other group is on the lower deck. So the first two group, the group that follow, well, I said it in a different order, but the first group, the one that follows, and the one that is short in fulfilling the rights of Allah, okay? They're on the upper deck. The one on the lower deck is the people who what? Transgress the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says their example is this, that when the people on the bottom, when they want water, they have to come up to the upper deck, then they have to get water, right? So one person, he comes up from the lower deck, and he goes up, and he gets water, and the people on the upper deck, he didn't like the way they looked at him. People are so sensitive these days. He didn't like the way he looked at him. So you know what he said? He says, I'm not going to go up there to get water anymore. So he took an axe, and he started making a hole in the bottom of his ship. Because he wanted water. So the people from the upper deck, they find out something's happening. The ship seems to be going further down. What's going on? They come down, and they look at him, and they're like, what are you doing? They said, when I came up to get water, I didn't like the way you looked at me. So I said, forget this. I'm not going to go up to go get water. I'm going to get water from here. You know what this example of is? This is us. How many of us are going to be, hey, patch that hole. That's not the right way to do things. Because it's going to sink all of us. Or how many of us are part of the people making the hole? And how many of us are falling short? Who is falling short? This is where we find most of us. They stay silent. They stay silent. What does staying silent here mean? You're still going to destroy yourself. You understand that? If you stay silent and you let the people in the bottom deck make that hole and the water is going to get into the ship, are you going to sink with the ship too? That's our community. If every person in the community, there are definitely going to be people that are on the bottom of deck of any community. That's just the way the world works. Not everyone is perfect. People make mistakes. Some people, they take a long time before they turn to change. And they start to realize that, you know, if Allah gives me everything, I might as well worship Him. It takes time for people to change. So, how many of us are going to be like watching those people making a hole in the ship and say, we're going to stay silent? If you stay silent in commanding good and forbidding evil, then you yourself will sink with the ship. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was explaining. In a community where people stay just silent and allow evil to prevail, then that community will destroy itself too in the process. We are not doing ourselves a good service by staying silent. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through this example, was trying to teach us something. That every community should have people that do amar bil ma'ruf, that command people to do good, that forbid evil, that stand up for haq despite whatever the consequences are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect this community and every other community as well. Ameen.